Zurich. Konca preteklega tedna stripovski svet še pozorneje spremlja afero Angoulême Gate, ki se je začela že pred meseci, saj se zdi, da bo po desetletjih dela največji stripovski festival v Evropi prihodnje leto odpovedan. Za zdaj je izvedba zgolj suspendirana, saj so se številni razstavljevalci, avtori, nagrajenci in založniki v sodelovanju odpovedali že potem, ko so direktorja festivala obtožili nepotizma, netransparentnosti, prekomerne komercializacije, izkoriščanja avtorjev in drugega, vendar ta s položaja ni odstopil. Odgovoril pa ni niti na javno pismo, ki so mu ga poslali z Grand Prixem nagrajeni avtori in 2500 njihovih kolegov. A več bomo izvedeli do konca tedna. Veliko mirneje sredi novembra stripovski teden minil v Združenem kraljestvu, kjer se je Yorkshireski festival stripovske umetnosti Todd Bubble, ki se je večinoma odvijal v Licu, zaključil z dvodnevno stripovsko konvencijo v Harrogateu. Besedi konvencija ponavadi pomislimo na praznik kapitalizma, kot ga slavijo na Dunaju, v Londonu ali San Diego, vendar je Todd Bubble nekaj povsem drugačnega. Gre za klasičen stripovski festival brez odvečne navlake. Na stojnicah je najti tako stripe neodvisnih ustvarjalcev kot tudi velikih imen, kot je denimo Simon Beasley. Skoraj nič pa ni igrač ali česarkoli, kar ni tiskovina. Oba dneva so se na štirih različnih odrih odvijali pogovori, predavanja, natečaji in okrogle mize. Tradicionalno pa se je v soboto zjutraj med dogodki najprej odvila razprava o najboljših novih stripih, na kateri so sodelovali vodja londonske striparne Gosh, trije avtori in kritičarka.
So the best thing I read this year is a recent release. It's Canon by Lee Lai, published by Drawn and Quarterly. I think it came out in September. Yeah. Canon is a story about someone on the wrong side of their 20s, so plus 25, not quite 30, who is experiencing transgenerational trauma, a very strained friendship with someone who's been like a really key figure in their lives. There's a lot of things that build up and build up and build up. There's a constant increase of tension until it breaks. And I found lots and lots and lots and lots of the threads in this book really relatable. So my anxiety was building as I read it. One of the narrative techniques that Leela uses in the book, it's every page is four panels, and the character has this running practice. They go running, they listen to these like meditative podcasts while they're doing it, and that is really reinforced by the pace of the novel. Each page has four panels, you turn the page, it's steady. And then when those emotional beats happen, and a lot of them are really effectively foreshadowed, so you see what's going to happen to these characters before it's happening, you want to stop it, you can't, you turn the page, and it hits. And it's a really powerful read. I was absolutely sobbing by the end of it.
Na seznamu več sodelujočih pa se je znašel tudi strip Golden Rage, stripovske umetnice Chrissy Williams, ki je kot gostja nastopila na eni od kasnejših okroglih miz, na kateri so razpravljali o distopičnih stripih. Dogodek je moderirala stripovska kritičarka Kelly Kanayama.
You know, one thing that struck me about the different dystopias that you all depict is how the characters react to what is going on. You know, in Baby Blue, for instance, your protagonists have formed a resistance against the ruling regime, which is ideological as well as about survival. Whereas with Charlie and Chrissy, in your comics, your characters are much more focused on enduring and surviving. I don't know how you would mount a sort of resistance to the zombie apocalypse in the sense of like campaigning against it or something. And in Golden Rage, you know, like they're just on the island. They're not thinking, okay, how do we get out of here? How do we get off this island? They're just trying to survive and make their lives. So what would you all consider to be the relationship between resistance and survival in the context of dystopia? And is it possible to have one without the other?
Well, Golden Rage, it's the idea that the rest of the society has decided that the worst thing they could possibly do is still have these old, infertile, infertile women living in their society, throw them all away together. But actually, the island itself, the whole thing is just an exploration of community and how you forge those friendships and how there's a key point at one point where they get access to the means to leave, but they don't leave. They don't want to leave. The island is actually where they finally have an authentic community where they can be themselves and all of their true values are actually shown. This is, for me, that's what it is. It's not even about resisting what's happened, it's just more forging a new life. I think that's the kind of key question, is like, how would you live your life if you no longer had to sort of bow to all of the demands that are made upon us every single day? And what does that actually look like? And, well, I mean, it looks a little bit violent, but no, I think that's where, for me, that's where all the characters come together, is you get to see them just on their own terms.
William se je izpostavila tudi problematičnost dobrega izgleda likov. Sama se je namreč večkrat vprašala, ali je smiselno narisati karakterno močno žensko tudi tako, da dobro izgleda. Bala se je namreč, da bi jo potem obrekovali, saj bralci lepe like dojemajo drugače kot manj lepe. Charlie Edlert je pri tej debati služil bolj za komične vložke, saj za razliko od ostalih prisotnih ni bil tudi scenarist svojih del. Walking Dead je zgolj risal in zato tudi dejal, da smatra, da to sploh ni distopičen strip in da so zombiji v njem samo razlog, da se lahko zgodba z točke A premakne na točko B. Njemu se namreč ne zdi strašljivo, da kot zombi izgubi življenje, saj že s tem, da postaneš zombi, izgubiš svojo osebnost, postaneš samo del kolektiva in s tem izgubiš svojo individualnost ter svojo človeškost. Nazadnje se je še opravičil vsem zbranim, da vsak strip riše v istem slogu, saj se med prebiranjem scenarija ponavadi ukvarja le s tem, kako pristopiti k zgodbi in katero tehniko ubrati. Potem se je v bližnji hali začela nabirati gneča, saj so pisci in risarji začeli prinašati svoja dela za natečaj revije 2000 AD. Britanska revija izhaja že od leta 1977 in jo verjetno poznate po liku sodnika Dreda. V prihodnjih mesecih pa bomo v reviji morda že videli natisnjene tudi zmagovalce natečaja, katerih dela so v nedeljo ocenjevali kar pred občinstvom. Na enem od natečajev se je v preteklih letih zmagal tudi slovenski avtor Tilen Jamnik. No, pred ocenjevanjem so imeli debato že etablirani avtori revije.
It seems to me up till then the whole point of the 2000 AD art tradition was there was no attempt to copy each other. McMahon can follow Bolland,
yeah.
Talbot can follow Neil, Lardinelli can follow Gibbons, yeah. And vice versa. I mean, these are the most disparate art styles, yeah, imaginable. And yet, the characters are strong enough, but it doesn't,
yeah,
matter.
Yeah. So what I alluded to earlier was that was what it gave me. I was like, oh, this gives me license to do whatever I think I want to do, essentially. And like, you know, it's like at the time, like a really cool record label that had kind of great artists signed from 1976 or something. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, so
2000 felt like that. It was like you got this magic, amazing creators that were just doing their own thing.
It was a British comics tradition. You saw it in other titles as well that America didn't have,
yeah,
at the time.
Yeah.
There was a house style at Marvel, and you did that, you followed that. that shitty color they put over everything made it even worse. Yeah. But you know, they've gotten there since.
Yeah.
But at the time, no, 2000 AD, I think, championed that wonderful diversity in art style.
A ostanimo še malo pri soboti, ko so se sredi dneva na odru dvorane Comixology zbrali trije risarji Batmana, Christian Ward, Declan Sholly in Mark Simpson Jock, ki so razglabljali o liku tega maščevalca.
Like he's a hero, but he should be on the verge of not.
Yeah.
He's a guy who could shoot bad guys, but he doesn't. He's on the verge, you know, or he could kill the bad guy, but he doesn't. I think that's probably what's compelling about him. Well, there's other kind of anti-heroes who will cross that line, and I think there's something about Batman where it's about justice, but it's messy. I think the stoicism is big too. It's tough because, like, when you're drawing Batman as an artist, you have a take, but it's generally more visual. And I remember having a hard time when I was working on it that I didn't want to draw him too much. The inner fan wants to draw all the stuff. But that's it. The fan wants to draw the stuff, but the artist is like, you shouldn't really see him. Like, I had a hard time not. I was trying to not draw him, which was tough because part of you wants to just draw all the belt buckles and all this stuff, but it's not. He's more interesting the less you see him, I think.
The more black you put on him, the better he looks. Like, to the point where it's just solid black, and he's still, he's one of the most famous silhouettes in the world, right? We all know that that's Batman. And yeah, I sometimes fall into that trap. With some of the covers, you know, you sort of think, you know, you want a bit more visual information or a bit, maybe, you know, a bit of anatomy or something like that, make it look cool. And the amount of times I've done that and literally just blacked it out, and it's a better cover for it, for sure. Oh, but what was the question about the... Yeah, well, I think it depends on the story. I grew up reading Judge Dredd, and Judge Dredd is another character that's a good example of how he can be any number of things within the story. He can be the hero, the villain, you know, the father figure, the all of them. And I sort of feel like Batman can do that as well. So I think, in fact, when I was going to start writing, I have not written very much, so it was kind of just, I don't want to say daunting, but it was extremely daunting. Scott just said, like, you know, trust your instincts. So I thought, okay, you know, that's a nice thing for him to say. He says, you've got great instincts, trust your instincts. So for me...
It's also like not much advice, really, is it? So,
it was good for me. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, because I feel like, you know, when you tell a story, like the theme that you have behind it is kind of what the story is really about. So, and I felt like I had that, you know, like I felt like I knew what I wanted to say. And for me, in that story, he was a moral father figure. Like, I feel like he's essentially a good guy that's got extremely messed up. He's still, there's a splash page where, you know, there's a little kid that's going through all kinds of stuff, and he basically just like embraces him and gives him a hug and says, look, it's going to be okay. And that, to me, was what I wanted my Batman to be.
I think if I had more of a stab at him, he'd be ultimately all the cool stuff and hard and cool and everything, but yeah. At the heart of it, so he's a broken little boy.
Yeah, exactly. And that to me is way more interesting than, you know, he is super cool and everything else, and he can appear like, you know, like a demon in the sky, or like I'm saying, you can handle him so many different ways, but I wanted him, he was a constant as well in the story, he didn't change in my story, he was the constant in it, and that's what I needed him to be for me.
Kako pa mora po njihovem mnenju izgledati Gotham City, mesto, v katerem živi Batman, distopično kot v filmih Christophera Nolana ali sodobno kot v seriji o pingvinu?
I think we can all agree one of the greatest musical artists of all time, R. Kelly.
R. Kelly?
Yeah. We're all in agreement, right? Okay, good. Do you remember the Batman and Robin soundtrack?
Yeah.
In Gotham City.
Gotham City.
And he sang about a city that is not Gotham City at all. A city of justice, a city of love, a city of peace for every one of us. Even when I was 14, I'm like, that isn't...
I can't remember the tune, actually. Can you just sing it for me?
I could. I just remember being as a fan going, like, so incensed that a major motion picture with a soundtrack that didn't understand the concept of Gotham City. I'm still angry. I can feel it.
I can see that.
Yeah, no. So I'm going to calm down and then I'll answer the question, but I just think we all need to... The one thing we should really challenge R. Kelly on is that song.
Yeah. Fair point.
I mean, for me, like, I've got a serious answer now. I'll put a joke in at the end. I mean, when I did City of Madness, for anyone who's read it, I would say Gotham was the main character. Batman wasn't the main character. It was more about that question of, and I think this, this is not original to me, but like, I love that idea of, did Gotham make Batman, or did Batman make Gotham? And I think that's a really interesting kind of cycle of like trauma and violence and darkness. And I think it's like, which came first? You know, the I almost said the apple and the pear. That's nothing. So what came first, the apple or the pear? The chicken or the egg? And I think stories that really handle Batman well, whether it be animated, film, or comics, are the ones that really get that Gotham is a character.
I love Gotham. In One Dark Night, it was pretty much 70s New York, but because it's Gotham, you can have Art Deco and statues and larger than life kind of stuff. But I tend to draw it more realistically, I think. I like the suburban landscape that the story took place in. But I'm helping design Gotham for a Batman film at the moment. It's called Dynamic Duo. It's been announced. It's actually a puppet film, which sounds odd, but check out, the company's called Swaybox that are making it. Check out their showreel if you go online, they're amazing. Gotham in that is way more fantastical, I think. So Arthur, the director, is super keen to keep it like gritty, street level. You know, it's about a bunch of kids. It's basically Dick Grayson and Jason Todd, but they're kind of like, you know, skater punks kind of thing, and they're wandering around Gotham. So it has that kind of street level stuff. But if you look up, it's, you know, incredibly huge sized statues and Art Deco pieces, and you know, and he's really keen for, like, sometimes my skyline is a little bit sort of regular city, you know, with the odd spire or whatever, or a cathedral, an oversized cathedral, but it's really good fun to be forced to sort of think of it as more fantastical terms, because similarly, you know, Gotham can handle it, you know, like it's that kind of place. Again, maybe similar to Judge Dredd that I mentioned earlier, like Mega City 1 and Judge Dredd is like a fantastical place that can kind of be anything you need it to be, and I feel like Gotham is very similar.
Yeah, they're the same, like Gotham can be whatever you need. I mean, in a way to say Metropolis can't be, like, you know, it's way more, whereas you can't be, like, yeah, it can be 70s New York and, you know, 1920s Art Deco, and, you know, I was watching a Batman Returns recently, and, like, there's a bit where he walks along, and then there's this massive Art Deco head that nobody addresses, you know, and you're like, I see the massive head next to you, but like, I love that's what it can be, and I think that's what makes maybe the idea of a man in a bat suit like work, is because this environment is so its own thing. Now, I mean, I don't know, I haven't read a lot of stories where Batman isn't in Gotham, but I mean, it feels inherently wrong to me, but I'm sure there's a take. I don't think Grant did him in Scotland one time. I know it can be done, but for me, I don't see the point of doing it unless he's in Gotham.
Yeah, that kind of whimsy, just having a huge statue at street level, it's great. Yeah. It's like, no one knows why it's there, but it just kind of works.
Velik razpon Todd Bubble festivala, ki je ena od njegovih večjih kvalitet, se je lahko pokazal že v dobre pol ure, ko je avtorica tega prispevka iz debate o Batmanu hitela na skoraj prekrivajoč se termin predavanja Pauzi Simons, katere strip Gemma Bovary je bil pred leti preveden tudi v slovenščino. Ob izidu njene biografije sta skupaj s stripovskim teoretikom Polom Grevetom njeno delo razlagala skozi kronološko zastavljeno predavanje. Slišali smo celo to, kako je kot študentka tipografije v svoj portfelj, ki ga je pošiljala založnikom, nenehno tlačila ilustracije. Prvič pa je s pomočjo lutk del stripa celo odigrala.
I suppose I began at the Guardian in 1977. I was asked to do a strip which was a half page on the woman's page. Yeah. That's an example.
I think a bit of context, because at the time The Guardian was the only national paper that had a page by and for women. And it was once a week, I think, is that right?
It was once a week.
Yeah, that's enough, isn't it? Once a week still more than enough.
On a month. Well, that's enough. It was quite a lot of drawing.
Yeah. But you had an amazing space being given this, because yes, it was a weekly strip, not a daily, which is so demanding. And you had space.
And I had space.
Yeah.
And I could chop it up how I liked.
So in a way, I've always thought to ask you about that. One of the spaces, if it's like anything, it's like an American Sunday newspaper page, but the half page or the...
Yes.
Did you look at some of those? I've seen you've talked about Arnold Roth being
a cartoonist. Yes, I haven't met Arnold Roth.
But were you aware of this format? being a veneer in America.
I think I'd seen some funnies.
In the Sunday funnies, yes.
Which would have been the probably ones that I had when I was little.
Yes. Well, like Peanuts, perhaps.
Yes, so, that's exactly.
But these are, so, we're going whizzing by, but these are so incredibly clever. And for me, the thing you have here is that we've seen you have recurring characters, but you're also, you're not tied to those recurring characters, unlike, for example, Peanuts or whatever, where you know it's going to be the same cast. Here you can do something here, for example, which is doesn't have any of your cast members in. It's a brilliant way of looking at the time span of 20 years of the changes in feminism through high the strip of their shoes, for example. And so you had this, you were given a tremendous amount of freedom with this. It would be so different if you had to do a daily or you had to do a regular cast every day.
I think I was lucky.
Incredibly lucky.
When had also it was the 70s when the sort of second wave of feminism was happening, and there were very good writers like Jill Tweedy writing on subjects which hadn't been what I think a lot of the male editors would call women's inners.
Če že gledamo še na stran bolj avtorskih ali neodvisnih ustvarjalcev, pa je bilo na sejmu najti tudi Joya Saka, ki je na konvenciji predstavljal nov strip o Muzafarnagarskem uporu v Indiji iz leta 2013. Sodeloval pa je tudi na pogovoru o revolucionarnih stripih. Čeprav je na vprašanje o tem, ali so njegovi stripi kaj spremenili, odgovoril samo ne, vseeno verjame, da imajo vsaj izobraževalno vrednost, tako kot novinarstvo. Saku se namreč zdi, da je bil do konca študija pravzaprav zavajan. Brez uvida, ki ga je neki dan doživel, nikoli ne bi pristal v Palestini in začel s stripovskim žurnalizmom, katerega obraz je postal skozi čas.
Large massacre of Palestinians in Beirut by a Christian militia with the aid of the Israeli army. And that sort of shocked me. And it shocked me because I'd grown up thinking Palestinians were terrorists. And I was thinking, so what's this? I didn't really understand. I began to sort of learn about what was going on in the Middle East. But one of the things that I was doing was trying to critique why I thought that. And I realized every time I heard the word Palestinian, it was right next door to the word terrorism. And I realized that I'd heard a bunch of facts, like let's say a hijacking of a plane, or an attack on a bus, or rockets being fired from Lebanon, all facts, but facts don't necessarily add up to the truth. There's often context that I didn't know. I didn't know the history. I didn't know what Israel itself was doing to the Palestinians. I knew none of that. I was doubly upset because I had a degree in journalism, and I thought American journalism was the gold standard. And here was proof that the objective style journalism I was used to wouldn't necessarily give a reader or a viewer an accurate picture. So I began to interrogate the media, my role in it, what I had studied. It's from that, the specific politics, a specific situation in the Middle East, and my kind of disgust and disdain, then disdain for what I'd studied. And so that's why I decided to go and just see for myself what was going on. And that's kind of been the impetus, and everything follows from there, basically.
Pa imajo stripi po Sakovem mnenju revolucionarni potencial?
Comics is a sort of a subversive, naturally subversive medium, because they've often sailed underground, under the radar. And I think we grow, you know, because of the way we've grown up thinking of comics as being for children, I realize that's sort of, it's a bit derogatory, but I've always kind of liked that because it allows you to seduce readers into thinking that this is, oh, it's a comic book, it's going to be easy, that you can make very good documentary material with comics, obviously. But if we're talking about the specifics of cartooning and what comics can do, let's say as opposed to what a photojournalist can do, and photojournalists are obviously, they do great work. I think that the power of the photojournalist is that one image is supposed to sum up a whole story. But what an artist can do is take a reader where a camera can't go. So, for example, if you're talking to someone who's being tortured, no one's very few, there are very few images of people being tortured. I can't even think of any, actually. But you can reconstruct, based on what the person's telling you, what it's like inside there. And that has a, an impact. And the other thing, I think, is you can tell people stories. You can retell their stories by going back into the past of their, or your own past, obviously. So it has this ability to coexist in the present and the past, which is difficult for other mediums to do.
In to je bil samo zelo majhen košček širokega nabora vsebin, ki so bile na voljo na festivalu Thought Bubble. Slednje so vključevale tudi delavnice, kinematografski strip in razstave. Poleg tega naj še omenimo, da ima mestece s komaj 75 tisoč prebivalci na voljo tudi nočni klub v več nadstropjih, ki celo ob nedeljah dela do 4 zjutraj. Sedemnajst ur na poti iz Združenega kraljestva Pija N.
Nič se ne dogaja, nobenih eventov, nobenih jobov ni, tema skratka, to je to.
Poslušali ste Kulturni obzornik.
V današnji oddaji ste kot podlago poslušale La Faena, The Anxiety of the Forest.